Last week we began thinking about the Christian and the world. The tension of being in the world but not of the world any longer. Here but not quite at home. Tonight we're coming at that same question, but we're coming at it from a different angle. Here's the question we're going to think about tonight. How should we think about the other 6 days? That is, Monday through to Saturday. Here we are gathered as believers, many of us, for our Sunday observance. The flag in the ground of the Christian life here on Sundays. But what about the other 6 days? Here's the great problem I think we need to confront as we think about this. The split personality Christian. The split personality Christian. A church life persona. A work life persona. Behaving one way amongst Christian friends and another way amongst uni friends. Amongst non-Christian family. Amongst work colleagues. Who are you at uni? Who are you at work? Who are you with your old school friends? A Christian chameleon, perhaps, just blending in. There's a great danger that Christianity can become a compartment of our lives, a discrete compartment where our belief is in the box and the other 6 days happen outside the box with no impact on what we believe, or no impact from what we believe to our lives. And the big idea I want us to get from Colossians 1 tonight is this. I think we get so much of this wrong because we have too small a view of Jesus. I have too small a view of Jesus. And you have too small a view of Jesus. And the purpose of Jesus coming, dying, and rising was not just to get you in the building on a Sunday. It was not just to get you even saved and part of God's family. The Jesus of the Scriptures is supreme over all things, supreme over every part of your life. And this Jesus that we're going to see in Colossians 1, he's interested in what you do from Monday through to Saturday. Once we meet him, he has to be interested. Jesus supreme over all things, and that's why the other 6 days matter. If Jesus has all authority, if he's absolutely supreme, then there's no part of my life that is outside his call to follow and obey. Every part of my life must be brought into submission under him. You can see the incomparable preeminence of Jesus in that passage from Colossians. First of all, Colossians 1, we see Jesus Christ supreme over all creation. Jesus was supreme over all creation before the foundation of the world. He is the eternal image of the invisible God. You meet Jesus and you meet the eternal, everlasting, invisible God. Have a look at Colossians 1, verse 15. Jesus is the image, elsewhere the exact representation of the invisible God. I was chatting to a guy a little while ago who described himself as an agnostic. In his words, he thinks he's made the perfect decision. If God is there, well, I haven't led too bad a life and he'll probably accept me. And if God is not there, well, I haven't wasted my time being too religious. Win-win. For him, it's impossible to know God. How can we ever have access to God? Well, he was cutting my hair at the time, so I had to be careful what I said. Scissors in hand. But I said this. It would be possible, wouldn't it, to know God if the perfect representation of the God who, yes, is invisible, if the perfect representation of that God came into our world, it would be possible to know that God, wouldn't it? And in fact, to ignore him once he's done that is not just respectable, agnostic humility. It's a dangerous denial of the facts. Verse 15, Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, has entered into creation. Or verse 17, the one who is before all things. The one who is before all things has entered into what has been made. And Jesus is supreme over all creation, not just before creation, but he's supreme over all creation because he made it. Verse 16. By him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Every single thing we know or see, every creature, every person that we love, from the weakest person to the very strongest, from the most powerful ruler to the most impoverished, all created by Jesus. And do you notice in verse 16 as well, not just created by Jesus, what else does Paul say? Created by him and for him. Everything created for the purpose of giving Jesus the honour that he deserves. Before creation, in the act of bringing the whole of creation into being, and also the supremacy of Jesus expressed right now, verse 17, in him all things hold together. Are you getting a picture of this Jesus? Right now, in command of all things, sustaining all of creation, every breath you take, every heartbeat, each growth and division of the smallest cell in your body, held together by Jesus. The most complex ecosystems of nature, the orbits of the planets, the particles of matter at the very edge of our universe flying out at the speed of sound. The speed of light, speed of sound is relatively slow. All in the hands of Jesus. Are you getting a picture of this Jesus? Now that's not the way we tend to think of him. At least it's not the way I tend to think of him. Until my thinking is corrected by God's word. Our image of Jesus, I think, tends to be of him in his humanity. In his humility, in his incarnation. A man in sandals wandering through Palestine. The Jesus, perhaps, of children's Bibles. That's not the full picture of Jesus. Three of Jesus' disciples got a glimpse of that glory of Jesus, that true greatness of Jesus. They went up a mountain. We read about in Matthew chapter 17, and there before their eyes, Jesus was transfigured. And they wrote later that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. That's the Jesus we ought to have in our minds as we think of Jesus, as we pray to God the Father through Jesus. Or the image of Revelation 1 that Andy read for us a moment ago. It's figurative, but you get the idea, don't you? One like a son of man dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. Head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Eyes like blazing fire. And John's response, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Is that the Jesus we have in mind? That if we were to stand before him, we would wish ourselves to be dead because of his greatness, because of his glory. Because that is Jesus as he is right now. By his Father's sight, Jesus has that glory. That's the big picture that Paul paints. Jesus Christ, supreme over all things. But the next thing Paul does in Colossians 1 is he zooms right in to the church. Second thing we see is Jesus Christ supreme in his church. Jesus supreme over all creation, but right now Jesus uniquely and especially expresses his authority through his church, his body, his people. Verse 18, we read that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That is how Jesus used his authority. You get more detail as you read on to that passage that Chase read for us of what he did as he reconciled all things, reconciled his people to his Father through a broken body and through the power of a resurrected life. That is how Jesus used his authority. His cosmic, everlasting preeminence was used for his church. That he might be the firstborn from among the dead. Jesus, if you like, is the first one who has gone through the door of death and come out the other side victorious. And he brings others in his train with him. And that is his people, that is us. All that authority, all that supremacy, all that glory put to the use of saving his church, but that's not the goal. The purpose, verse 18, have a look with me, verse 18. He rescues his church so that in everything he might have the supremacy. This people that Jesus is rescuing is part of God's plan to bring all things under this supreme headship of Christ. He brings peace, he brings an end to the alienation between us and God. But he does it in the end for his own glory, for his own supremacy. See, we don't just obey Jesus in all things because he is supreme and powerful. We obey Jesus because in his greatness, he used his power for our good. What a great display of power that is. So what does this mean? What does it mean for us that Jesus is supreme over all? It means at least this. It means that a life given up in the service of that Christ is a life lost, not a life lost, but life gained. To serve this Jesus is not to lose your life, it is to gain real life. And because this Jesus is supreme over all creation, have a look at what Paul does with his life. Verse 23, Paul reasons, well, if Jesus is supreme over all things, then the gospel must be proclaimed to every creature under heaven. The hope held out in Jesus must be heard by all. And so a life like Paul lived makes perfect sense. He gives all that he has, and he says he fills up in his body what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He so owns the sufferings of Jesus that he takes them upon himself as he suffers in pursuit of more and more people hearing about this supreme Lord Jesus and his grace shown to us. See, a life like his makes perfect sense. And for Paul, it wasn't just getting people through the door of Christianity. His goal was far more than that. We read down the end in verse 28. What's Paul's goal? Teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And to that end he labours, struggling with all God's energy so powerfully working in him. What does that tell us about the other 6 days of our life? Jesus, supreme over all things. The life that makes sense is the life that gives everything to present everyone perfect in Christ. See, the supreme authority of Jesus must translate into total discipleship. Chase is going to talk more next week about what discipleship looks like. But supreme authority of Jesus equals total discipleship. It can be no other way. It did for Paul, it meant that, and so it must for us. There's no part of my life, there's no part of your life, which is beyond the claim of Jesus' authority. Famous theologian, politician, Abraham Kuyper put it like this in a quote which many of you probably heard, but it's one of the great quotes, so I'll use it again. Kuyper said this: there's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And there's not a part of my life, there's not a part of your life over which Jesus Christ doesn't cry, mine. And so here's what the supremacy of Christ cannot mean. Here's what it cannot mean. If this is all true of Jesus, then it's impossible to make following this Jesus just a Sunday event. I come if I can, but it doesn't make a difference to the rest of my week. Following this Jesus can't mean half-hearted compromise. It can't mean I live my Christian life subject to a better offer. It can't be a Christian life that just says, I'll come, look, I'll get saved, I'll put my hand up, I'll sign the form, I'll pray the prayer, but then continue with the rest of my life as is. That's not following this Jesus, this supreme Jesus. Can you imagine this? On the final day, you stand before Jesus and you try to say to him, I didn't think you were worried about how I behaved on Friday night. I thought you were only interested in Sunday. Can you imagine saying that to this Jesus? I didn't think you worried about what I did in the privacy of my own bedroom. I didn't think you were interested in how I behaved at work. I thought you were only interested in this. It's silly, isn't it, to even talk like that about saying that to this Jesus. It matters what we do with the other 6 days. It matters what we do when we walk out that door at the back of the church. It means I have to ask the question, how can I use my intellect to glorify Jesus? It means I must ask, how do I use my time to glorify this Jesus? How can I work in such a way that I glorify this Jesus, to bring him the honour that is rightfully his? And this authority of Jesus, it doesn't oppress us or crush us. It liberates us. This is the authority of our Creator. This is the authority of the one who had all power in his hands and yet put it aside to be broken for us. This is the one who gave himself to bring us home. He is the one who sits in all authority. Let me finish by telling you about two people. The first person tries to do as well as they can at school. They get the best marks they can, so they get into the best university they can. Then they try to get the best degree they can to get the best job, car, clothes, house and partner they can. They get the biggest mortgage so they can live in the nicest suburb possible. They send their 1.8 children to the best school they can afford. Then they get a new house in a nicer suburb, a second car, a third car, a bigger dog. He goes to the football on Saturday and the golf club on Sunday. They try the best they can to influence their children by all possible means to get the best university degree so they get the best job, house, clothes, partner, etc. Then they try the same with their grandchildren. Then they die and get the best coffin they can. The second person is a Christian. They try as well as they can at school. They get the best marks they can to get into the best university they can. Then they get the best degree they can to get the best job, car, clothes, house and partner that they can. Then they get the biggest mortgage so they can live in the nicest suburb possible. They send their 1.8 children to the best school they can afford. Then they get a nice house in a new suburb, a second car, a third car, a bigger dog. He goes to the football on Saturday and church on Sunday. They try the best they can to influence their children to get the best university degree, house, job, etc. Then they try the same with their grandchildren. Then they die and get the best coffin they can. And that may not be your story, past or future. But you should have no trouble seeing the point. It's a problem, isn't it, that those who would claim to follow this Jesus live their lives by precisely the same rules as those around us who have no knowledge of him. Those that don't know this supreme Jesus, how is that possible? How about I pray? Our Father, we ask that you might humble us before this Jesus. Give us true knowledge of your Son through your word, so that we might see him as the supreme one that he is. Enable us to so live our lives, to so give them for the glory of Christ, that we might be different to those around us. We pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.